August, Fáilte Arás to the Crazy House Prices podcast with me. And now I can actually proudly introduce myself as best-selling author Ciarán Mulqueen, as my book, How to Buy a Home in Ireland, has been number one in the non-fiction bestsellers list in Ireland for 2 weeks in a row now. So thank you to everybody who has bought a copy. Basically, in this episode, I'm going to dive into a pretty essential chapter from my book all about bidding on a home. I'll be sharing insider tips and strategies that I've gathered from conversations with successful bidders and estate agents. So if you do find value in this podcast, please remember to leave a review wherever you listen to it. And if you want more podcasts, more exclusive podcasts where I answer your questions, please do consider signing up to my Patreon. It's patreon.com/crazyhouseprices. I think I've about 70 podcasts up there, all Q&As, some podcasts with experts, and it's really, really good. So I appreciate all my patrons. If you're a patron, listen to this, thank you. But yeah, do consider signing up, and then also obviously buy my book. Anyway, in this episode, I'm going to cover basically the whole bidding process. And this is from doing your research to understanding your buying position and developing a bidding strategy. And as always, I will be answering some questions. So I'm actually going to just put a Q&A section in at the end. So anyway, let's get started. I'm going to pause the podcast for a second because I want to talk to you about a company called Financial Planning Matters. Their website is fpms.ie. This is a company that I know very well, and the team behind it are fantastic. It's a small Irish company that believes that financial planning should be accessible, easy to understand, and affordable for everyone. That's why they offer personalized financial advice that's tailored to your unique needs and goals. Their team of expert financial planners will look at your current financial situation and develop a personalized strategy to give you a roadmap to achieve your financial goals. It's not just about setting up a pension or investing your money. They'll consider all aspects of your finances to help you get to where you want to be. So that could be saving for your deposit. It could be knowing where to invest your children's allowance. It could be maybe you have loads of money and you want to know what to do with it. So their customer service is incredible. I've been using them for over a year now and I cannot recommend them enough. So check out fpms.ie. Now, back to the podcast. So this is going to be an extremely important episode for you, especially if, you know, bidding wars are kind of still going on whenever you're listening to this episode. So the tips in here I've basically gathered from conversations with hundreds and hundreds of people who have been successful with their bidding, and also from multiple estate agents who very kindly gave me some inside knowledge. Personally, ourselves, we never actually won a bidding war. All of our efforts were unsuccessful because we basically just refused to pay more than what we felt the home was worth. So please do keep that in mind, that the information I'm sharing in this episode comes with that caveat that I wasn't actually successful. But I do think there's a lot of experience in here from others. So I think some of the tips are really good. But there isn't a one size fits all. And you're just going to have to basically use your own initiative and bid how you see best. But despite not actually ever winning a bidding war, I did have two agents come back to me. And there was another one that we were bidding on that actually sold for below what I offered. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about that and fake bids and stuff later on. But anyway, I'm not going to go into the details of the ones we lost out on, but like, they were a couple of dodgy agents that I basically wouldn't buy a Mars bar from. But anyway, but what happens a lot is that offers fall through and the agent will go back to the underbidders, and you might be able to go sale agreed that way. So if you are outbid, don't lose all hope, because you know very often these sale agreeds fall through. But basically the bidding process is likely to be the most stressful, anger-inducing stage of your entire home buying journey. The process here in Ireland, I think, is archaic. I think you get more transparency buying a piece of steak here than you do actually buying a house. You never know for sure who you're bidding against, if the other bidder even exists, or how the estate agent is going to treat you. It's a brutal process, and I would love to see changes made to make it more transparent. I've done a podcast on that before, and I have a chapter on it in my book. Anyway, before bidding, breathing, right? So I've done a podcast on this before, and there's a chapter on it in my book, but just you need to make sure that your research is done on the property and on the area. You need to know what sold recently and how much it sold for, and then you use that research and your own circumstances to basically set a maximum bid in advance, and you should really stick to that. If the home needs loads of work, have a rough idea of renovation costs and factor them into their bid. Again, I've done a whole chapter on this and I have a whole post on it on my page with renovation costs. Your max bid is very, very important. Do whatever you can to avoid being caught up in a bidding war. It's worth remembering here that if you're approved for a regular mortgage, so not like a renovation mortgage, but just your normal standard mortgage, your mortgage approval will usually be based on a loan to value of 90%. So if you manage to buy a home for less than your maximum mortgage approval, unfortunately, that doesn't mean that you have extra money then for furniture or new windows or redecorating. So for example, let's say you're a first time buyer, you've got €30,000 saved and you've a mortgage approved for €240,000. That means your maximum spend is €270,000. So if you manage to find a home for say €250,000, that doesn't mean that your lender will give you your €240,000 and you'll only have to add €10,000, leaving you with €20,000 to spend on for furniture or works or whatever. Your lender will only give you 90% on this. So you will still need a 10% deposit. So in that case, it's 25,000 and your lender will provide the remainder, which will be 225,000. So this is something I come across a lot, and people sometimes think that their max mortgage approval is what they will get, but it's not. It's more your loan to value that is the most important. So that's something to remember. Now, during bidding, always email your bid. Always, always, always have a record of it in writing, because you want to have that there if there is some, you know, dodgy dealings going on, that you should have everything in writing. So some agents use online bidding platforms and some don't. Whatever medium the agent uses, they'll likely require proof of funds from you. And this is a good thing, as it means the agents are ensuring that there are no time wasters bidding on the home who could drive up the price unnecessarily. Now, not all agents ask for this. However, this is the tricky part. Do you send them your full approval in principal amount, or do you redact the figures? And this is one that I always struggle with. While I understand agents need to be sure people have the funds to back up their bids, I just don't think it's a good idea for the agent to know exactly how much you have to spend. If they do, if they know you have approval to go to a higher number, you best believe that they're going to use whatever tricks they can to get that out of you. So their job at the end of the day is to get the highest price for the vendor, the seller. I always recommend that you send your approval in principle with the figures redacted. Most agents will accept this. Well, maybe only a few nowadays, but it used to be a case where most agents would accept it, that they just know you have approval. And most people are not time wasters. They've no interest in bidding on houses that they can't afford. If the agent doesn't accept that redacted approval in principle, you could ask your lender or your broker or your solicitor to send an email to confirm that you have the funds to back up the offer of X amount on X property. Again, this may not be enough for some agents, and you might just have to make the decision yourself on whether or not you think it's a good idea to send them your unredacted approval amount. With that said, it's a good idea to build a good rapport with estate agents in your area. You want to show them that you're serious about buying your home and that you're organized and you're ready to move quickly. Agents really prefer a sale that is more likely to go through, which does not always mean the highest bid, but the best offer. Your bid is just the money. Your offer is your whole package, your situation, your organization, your ability to buy immediately with funds approved, your solicitor is in place, that you're not in a chain, and so on. So if an agent has two offers in around the same amount, they will advise the vendor which offer they feel should be accepted. And that will usually be the one that is most likely to be accepted. The last thing an agent wants is a sale falling through, as it delays everything, including their commission. So if you've built up a good rapport with an estate agent, they'll know your situation and your circumstances. And if you've put in an offer, you could ask that the agent then informs the vendor about your situation and the positives that you bring to the deal, that you're an owner-occupier who loves the area and the home, and the house will become a family home, and any other factors that might convince them that you're the safest bet, and make a fair first offer based on your research. I would always advise that you start below the asking price and work from there, but don't put in like an insulting offer that's like $200,000 below the asking price. That will just annoy everyone, the vendor and the estate agent. So you just want to show them that you're ready for a quick sale and a smooth buying process with no risk of it falling through, okay? And then you need to look at your buying position. So your buying position can dictate your buying strength and how to bid. If there are other bidders, you can ask the agent about their buying positions. Most agents will let you know what type of other bidders are involved. And then once you're armed with that information, then you can determine how they rank against you in terms of buying strength. So there are kind of three different buying positions. One is the cash buyer. The cash buyer is the strongest competition you can have. A lot of the time, these are investors or just rich people that have moved back from somewhere or people that have sold and they've a load of money in the bank. These are strong because they're not relying on third parties like banks, insurance companies, etc. They can buy very quickly and very easily. And even if a cash buyer offers less than you, it is possible that their bid will be accepted over yours. The next one then is a mortgage buyer. This is when it's your standard bidder has mortgage approval, they're ready to buy and is not waiting on the sale of their own home. These are nearly as strong as a cash buyer, you know, obviously not as strong, but nearly. And then the last one then is a chain buyer. And these bidders are likely to be considered weak because their offer is dependent on the sale of their own property. And if that's in its early stages, then they're likely to just be ignored. Or if it's in an advanced stage, then they might be considered a bit more strong. Now, your bidding strategy. So depending on your buying position, you may need to bid more, less, or you can match another bidder. For example, if you're a mortgage buyer and you're bidding against a chain buyer, you may be able to just match their bid as you will be considered in a stronger buyer position. So you just send that to the agent with your, say, look, I'm matching their offer, but I'm ready to go. I know they're in a chain, so blah, blah, blah. However, if you're a mortgage buyer and you're bidding against a cash buyer, then you may have to bid more as your buying position is weaker than theirs. So as I said, it's not always the highest bid that wins, but the best offer. So use your own judgment and bid whoever you see is appropriate. But remember to stick to your original maximum bid amount that you identified at the start. Now, matching a bid. Let me talk to you about matching a bid for a second, because I hear all the time that agents won't accept it. So this is always a difficult one. If you do want to match a bid, you need to show why your offer is better than the current one. So that goes back to your buying position. So a lot of agents will say they can't accept your bid if you just match it or match whatever the current highest bid is, and that you have to increase your bid. However, legally, estate agents must represent all offers to the vendor. A lot of agents don't like matching bids because it brings an end to the bidding war. And the problem is this: agents have a lot of power when it comes to offers and advising the vendor on which offer to accept. Matching a bid might annoy that estate agent, and they may purposely advise the vendor to accept the other offer. So it's a good idea to word your offer really well. Be fair and be polite and explain why you're matching the bid and not exceeding the existing bid, and highlight the benefits of your offer over the other bidder, that you're organized, more likely to follow through, and so on. It could be a useful tactic if the bidding war has brought like the bids on a house up way, way higher than asking price. But maybe if it's below asking price, you know, you might annoy the agent. So it's always just going to depend on the individual house and on the agents themselves. The next one is increments. Now, like, the increments will really kind of depend, again, on the price of the house or the home. So there's no proven strategy when it comes to how much to increase your bid by, and it will depend on the home. So it will depend on its asking price and whether the bidding is done online or via an estate agent. So I just think it's always a good idea to think about your increases as a percentage of the overall price. For example, a €500 increase on a bid of a 650,000 euro home is much smaller percentage than a €500 bid on a €200,000 home. So you could aim for a percentage of the bid, for example, increasing your bid by 0.25% each time. So in the two examples there, 0.25% of 650,000 is 1,625. 0.25% on 200,000 is €500. So you could look at 0.25%, you could look at 0.33%, you could look at 0.5%. Again, it's kind of up to you and your own judgment, but It really depends on the actual price of the home. Now, sometimes you'll get a thing where the agent just wants best and final offers. And that's usually when a bidding war has escalated and the bids are all far in excess of the asking price. The agent might just want to ask all bidders for their best and final offer and bring an end to things. So this is done to try and kind of halt the bids going too much higher, because if it gets way over asking price, the bank likely won't lend on it. So they just want to get towards a sale agreed price. And this is usually a blind bid. You don't know what the others are going to offer, and you must just go with your own head and offer what you feel the home is worth to you. Most of the time, this will go to whoever bids the highest amount. But as I said earlier, it's not always about the highest bid, but the best offer. So the decision is at the discretion of the agent and the vendor. So in recent times, there's been a small movement of sellers who have refused to sell to investors or investment funds and opted instead to sell to an owner-occupier, despite their bid being a little bit lower. Personally, I would love to see more of this. However, investors will often offer the highest amount, so it's very difficult for vendors to reject that extra cash. And just remember, the estate agent has a really big influence on which offer is accepted. So use the good rapport that you've built up with them and the strategies that I've just spoken about to give yourself the best chance of being successful. Hi, I am just going to pause the podcast for a second to talk to you about some sponsors of the Crazy House Prices podcast. This episode is sponsored by Daft.ie. Daft is Ireland's number one property portal. Daft has the most properties available for sale and rent and is the preferred national property website amongst consumers in Ireland. So Daft.ie's core vision is to make buying, selling and renting property better for everyone in Ireland. So Daft's mission is to simplify each step of every property transaction in the Irish market to make buying, selling and renting in Ireland simple. That's why Daft.ie build innovative tools like Offers by Daft, an online real-time offers platform that provides never-before-seen transparency for the Irish consumer when buying a home. Are you looking to buy? Maximise your chances of finding your dream home by visiting Daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Now, questions. So I got loads and loads. I've got like well over 100 questions sent in on my Instagram. So I'm just going to pick like some of the most common ones. Okay. So first question, putting an offer in and not hearing back. What do you do? So again, put it in writing and depending on how long it's been, what I would do is I would email the offer and then I would follow it up with a phone call. And then I would ask the agent to just confirm in writing that they've received my offer. You want to keep a track of everything. Keep all the evidence in your emails in case you ever want to go back. And that's something I'm doing at the moment. I'm going to make a report. I'm going to report an agent to the PSRA. So if you do feel that there are fake bids, actually, I'll talk about that later. Anyway, put in a strong offer or whatever and you haven't heard back, I'd follow it up and get everything in writing. Next question, can you ask for proof of bids or how to tell if other bids are real? So you can always ask. You can ask anything. You can ask in writing that the agent kind of sends you a bidding log. So all agents are required to keep a bidding log. Now, I have heard that, you know, a bidding log can be like, you know, an agent writing the numbers down in a journal and that's it. Like, so you can ask. The agent doesn't have to show you the bidding log. They're not under any obligation to do that. It's just that they need to keep it if they ever get audited. So how can you ask, and how can you tell if the other bids are real? The unfortunate thing is you can't. And that's where I think the online bidding process is a bit better. It's a bit more transparent because you can actually see the bids are there. Now, there's still no way of telling that person bidding isn't a friend of the vendor or whatever. There's just no way of knowing, but at least in the online platforms, you can actually see them coming in and you get instant notifications and emails. Whereas if you're going through the estate agent, like we were when we were bidding, you're just getting an email saying, oh yeah, somebody's just bid 10 grand more. And you're like, what? And I know it always feels like, you know, there's no way anyone else is bidding that. But unfortunately, fake bids don't happen that often, but they absolutely do happen. And I have proof of a good few times of them happening often with a very specific estate agent who I won't name because they'll try sue me. But basically, I had a friend who was bidding on a house, and then he realized his friend was bidding on the same house, and they only realized afterwards when one of them went sale agreed. And then they were chatting about their bids, and then because they were at a barbecue and they were chatting about their bids, and then it turned out the agent basically added 10 grand on. So as always, If you feel that an agent is putting in fake bids, then you can report them to the PSRA or the PRSA, whatever it's called. If you Google it, actually, I have a post on my page about it and how to do it. Now, these reports aren't anonymous, which is a huge problem, because if you put a report in and then that agent is the only agent in the area that you live in, that agent's not going to want to deal with you because you're accusing them of fake bids. So it's another reason why I just think the whole process in Ireland is a joke and needs to be changed, because you can never really be sure that you're actually bidding against someone, or that the other person bidding is bidding bidding in honesty. Like, maybe they don't have approval for that amount and the agent hasn't checked. So it's just a mess. It's a nightmare. I know you probably want better answers than that, but unfortunately there are none, because it's Ireland and that's just how things are done here. Next question: are small increases bad? Again, refer back to my piece earlier on increments. Like, a small increase is bad if it's on a really expensive house, but then a small increase isn't too bad if it's on a really cheap house. So it just really depends. Next question: what percentage below asking to offer? Again, there's no like kind of one size fits all on the percentage below asking. I just think it's absolutely crazy somebody going in and bidding asking price straight away or above asking price straight away, because the agent is then just going to, you know, it's going to go to the next person and then be like, oh, I have an offer in for asking. Do you want to go higher? And then that, you know, always start lower. I wouldn't give a specific percentage. Use your research. Use what is sold nearby. Have an idea from all your research to know what this home is worth, and then just go below asking on that. It could be 1%, it could be 5%, it could be 10%, whatever. My home report says on average houses are selling for 1% above asking. So that will tell you that, you know, you shouldn't be going in and asking straight away. I think it's mad. Anyway, next question: how long to leave in between bids, or how long after reviewing place an offer? Again, there's no right or wrong way to do this, and I don't know. I always just bid straight away, to be honest, because like time is precious. So what you can do is you can say, after you've gone to a viewing and you really like it, you can maybe leave it a day, have a chat with a builder or someone that maybe knows how much it's going to cost to fix up or whatever. You just have to do your research. It always comes back to research, knowing how much a thing is worth. And then you can just go in and then leave a couple of hours in between bids, or a couple of hours or a day or whatever. There's no right or wrong, to be honest. Next question: what to do if you're the only bidder and the vendor wants more? So this often happens, that sometimes the vendor just won't, like, they're just, you know, a bit stubborn, and they won't accept below what a figure they have in their head, whether they came to that figure by themselves or whether that figure was fed to them by the estate agent to get the sale in the first place. That depends. But let's say a vendor just wants 250 grand for the house and you're in at 230 and they're like, no, I want 250. I would never personally bid against myself, because no one else wants that home. Obviously, you're the only one that wants it. So if they want to sell it, they can sell it to you, otherwise they can delay and the price may go down. So again, it's up to you. If you're the only bidder, do you want to bid against yourself? Let's say, going to that example, if you're at 230 and they want 250, you could be like, look, let's cut out all the messing. Let's meet in the middle at 240 on the condition that the property is removed now and we move towards getting contracts signed up. So it really just depends, and you need to make your own judgment on that. Next question: can you review the original offer if there are delays? I think it's reasonable to review your original offer if the delays are on the side of the vendor. Let's say probate wasn't disclosed, or there were some issues with the registry, or, you know, some legal issues. If the delays are on the side of the vendor, I would absolutely be reviewing my original offer, because you're probably likely getting onto a higher interest rate in your mortgage now, and it's going to cost you more. So personally, I'd be like, you lads have taken 6 months. At the start, you promised me the vendor wanted a quick sale. This isn't a quick sale, so I'm going to remove some money from my original offer. Next question: can you bid on new builds? New builds are usually, that's the price, and no, you can't bid on them. That would be the usual case. Next question: can you ask the agent what the vendor is looking for and go in at that? Yeah, you can do. Like, kind of going back to that other bit, like, if a vendor just has a figure in their head that they want, and if that's a figure that you find is acceptable for the home, then yeah, you can absolutely go for that. You can always ask the agent anything, really, but yeah, you can ask the agent what figure does the vendor have in their head, and if that's something that you feel it's worth, then you could go in on that. But let's say the vendor wants 250 and you're like, okay, I'll go in at 250. And then the agent goes to the next party then going, I have an offer in for 250. Do you want to go in at 255 or 260? So it just depends on how many other people are bidding on that home. Next question, what to do when you're up against a cash buyer? I've kind of spoken about that in the bidding strategy. So you could always try and appeal to the vendor's, more human nature and say, look, this is going to be a family home. This is like, we're from the area, whatever, and try and appeal to them to sell it to you rather than an investor that's just going to rent it out. And I'm hearing more and more stories of vendors refusing to sell to investors, which I think is fantastic and I think it should happen more. Next one. If the house has been on the market for ages and there are no bids, what can you do? Again, go back to your research, figure out what the home is worth and what it's worth to you, and then go in at that. And you can always put a time limit on your offer then. You can be like, look, I've got 300 grand. I'm ready to go. I need an answer by 5 p.m. on Friday. If not, I'm moving on to the next property. And you can always put a time limit on your offer. It just depends on the vendor, whether they're able to wait or whether they're in a rush. Next question, are auctions worth looking into? These aren't something I would recommend for people buying with a mortgage because, well, your bank might not let you. An auction basically for a home, it's the same as like, say, going to an auction for a car. It's sold as seen and you can't look at the engine in that car. You don't know what might be wrong with it. The same with the house. It's sold as seen. So you don't have that safety net of a survey or whatever to check it out. So usually you can go sale agreed to get the survey done. If it flags up a load of issues, then you'd be like, nah, that's crazy. I didn't know it needed a new roof. I'm going to pull out. So auctions, it's sold as seen. So it's not something I would recommend to people. Next question, should you pretend not to be interested? No, I would always say that estate agents, they really want to deal with people that are really interested in the home because they don't want tire kickers. They don't want to, if you pretend you're not interested, they might think, well, they're not a serious bidder, so I'm not really going to be dealing with them. So no, I don't, it's not like dating, you know, and even in dating, I don't think you should do that either. I just wouldn't be playing any games, whether it's buying a house or dating. I think you should just show, look, I'm interested. I'm a serious buyer. Let's get this going. Can we work on a deal here and get a quick sale in? That's what estate agents want to hear. They want to hear that you're organized and that the sale is less likely to fall through so that they can get the house sold and move on to the next one. And then the last question I'm going to do is, when you're outbid, how do you make sure the agent keeps you in the loop? This will come back to the rapport that you've built with that estate agent. Make sure that you've kind of spoken to them in a nice way and then just be like, look, if anything happens with that sale, I'm still interested. And you could even, I don't know, set a reminder for 2 weeks and be like, to send an email and check in with the agent. Be like, just checking in on that. Is it still sale agreed? And just hoping you keep me in mind if anything changes. Again, outline why your offer is good, that you're ready to go. You've got your mortgage protection sorted. You've got your surveyor ready. You've got your solicitor sorted. You're an organized buyer. That's what agents want. So you do really need to make sure you've built a good rapport with those estate agents. But anyway, that's it for the questions. The fake bids thing always, always, always comes up. If you feel like you're up against phantom bidder or a fake bidder, you can report that agent to the PSRA. Now, I know loads of agents have been reported for fake bids. I know it happens. But as far as I know, I've never heard of an agent actually losing their license. But an estate agent would tell you that it's not worth it to them because they say you get 1% or 1.5%. It might be worth, you know, 100 euro in their pocket, and that's not worth losing their license. But then also the other side of it is they know that the chance of that happening is very, very slim to none. So it's just, it's up to you and whether or not you feel like the home is worth it. I just think the fake bids thing is one of the biggest problems with the whole process here, the whole bidding process here in Ireland. And there are solutions to it, like I've spoken about in my book. But anyway, that's a whole other podcast. So that wraps up today's episode on how to bid on a home in Ireland on the Crazy House Prices podcast. I hope you found the tips and insights valuable, and I hope they help you navigate the bidding process with a bit more confidence. And remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, please do leave a review and do consider signing up to my Patreon for more exclusive content. And if you want everything in one little place, buy my book, How to Buy a Home in Ireland. It's pretty much everywhere, in every bookshop. And if you do have any questions or or suggestions, feel free to reach out. You're better getting me on an email. My DMs on Instagram are insane. But anyway, thank you for listening and have a lovely weekend or whenever you're listening to this podcast. Just really best of luck on your home buying journey.